Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am your host. I am known as POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I sure as heck cover them. Joining me in studio is a member of the POU basketball team. She wears number 44. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you today?
I am doing okay. Thanks, Christian. I'm a little sick, and I feel like I said that last week and the week before, but it's like this lingering pre-cold, if you know what I mean. Like, right before you get a cold, you know it's coming, so you're taking vitamins like crazy. Haven't gotten my flu shot, which is my mistake. I should probably get on that. But yeah, so sorry. I apologize if I'm clearing my throat a little bit this morning, but that is why. But on the bright side of things, basketball practice is coming up a week from Saturday, so pretty pumped about that to get season started.
Very nice. Joining me as well in studio, he wears number 32. He calls himself a point forward. His name is Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Christian. I mean, where should we start? Should we start with the fact that my boy Dak Prescott has yet to throw a pick in the league? This man looks incredibly average and incredibly sufficient. He is great for Tony Romo to wait for him to come back. Just, hey, let's just wait, give Jerry Jones something to talk about and laugh about that doesn't make him sound stupid in press conferences. It's great.
Are you a Tony Romo gets back in the game when he comes back, or are you a keep riding Dak Prescott guy?
No, I am a give Tony Romo the job back as I am the give Tom Brady the job back guy, because as a Niner fan, I was burned with that, you know what, when we gave Colin Kaepernick the job and let Alex Smith ride, and now Alex Smith has had a couple Pro Bowl-esque seasons. Got to say a lot about Carson Wentz, too. Carson Wentz has been absolutely fantastic. Looks like Tom Brady after the snap and looks like Peyton Manning before it. Guy knows what he's doing. No one would have seen this coming. He is the best rookie in the NFL and will be the NFL Rookie of the Year this year. And finally, how about them Giants? We are believing in here. Emphasis on the even. Just weather the Noah Syndergaard storm. Thor was bringing his best stuff last night, but we had Mad Bum on the mound bringing his. Then the Giants Gillespie does his best Cody Ross Orange October impersonation, and the Giants stay alive. Now, Christian, this is what kills me, man, is that didn't Buck Showalter get burned for the same thing the Mets could, for the opposite reason the Mets coach got burned? You know, Buck Showalter got burned for not going to his Cy Young closer. So the Mets manager was thinking to himself, as Noah Syndergaard's got 10 Ks, and he's like, you know what? In the ninth, I should probably go to my closer. Guess what happened? Ding!
Yes.
Mr. Gillespie, dialing long distance, Giants win 3-0. It was a great night last night.
Yeah. Lacey, when you drop a play to, like, win a game, do you go to your best player?
Of course.
See? That's why I'm always going to side with the Mets manager from last night. Going to his bullpen ace, which is what your closer is.
That's what you're supposed to do.
He did the right thing, and he got burnt. No big deal. Rather leave your best man out there to win a game than leave your best man in the bullpen.
Did you see Syndergaard's face?
He was not very happy.
He
was not very happy.
Poor Thor. Go back to Ragnarok.
At this time, I want to remind those of you listening that the stories we will be talking about today can be found at mastmedia.pou.edu. We want to hear from you, our listeners, throughout the show. Feel free to call in the show at any time. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that number is 253-535-7332. So last weekend, POU football had a game against Pacific. It was a good game. It was really fun to watch. We'll go through the scoring summary right quick. On the first drive of the game, POU went 82 yards in 7 plays. It ended with a touchdown pass from John Schaub to DJ Winter. So POU was up on the board early, 7-0. The defense forces a 3-and-out. TJ Morris gets his hand on the punt and gives POU the ball at the 8-yard line. POU takes advantage when Kellen Westring, our boy, catches an 8-yard pass from John Schaub. All of a sudden, POU's up 14-0, and really, it was over from then on because POU defense played ridiculously well. We keep going here. Pacific scored, and then Dallin Rodriguez hit a couple field goals, and the dagger came late in the fourth quarter. There was a minute 41 left in the game, and Darren Hargrove busted off a 52-yard run. I mean, everyone knows that the POU was running the ball to ice the game, to run the clock out, and all of a sudden, Darren breaks free and scores a 52-yard touchdown. Austin Cardoza caught a 15-yard pass from Pacific with 21 seconds left, but that really didn't matter. POU won the game 27-16. As I mentioned, the POU defense was incredibly impressive on Saturday. Pacific entered the game averaging 32 points per game. POU held them to, I mean, basically 10, but 16. They held them to half of that. Who was most impressive on the POU defensive side of the ball?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Travis McMillian. Stud all year. He was named Northwest Conference Defensive Player of the Week this last week. He tallied 8 solo tackles and 5 assisted for a total of 13 tackles against Pacific, and he's led the team in tackles for the last 3 games, which is every game they've played this season. And guys, you know what's really impressive to me about Travis is, if any of you were able to read The Mass, there was a piece on him, and some people may not know, but Travis came into PLU expecting to be a quarterback. So his first year, his freshman year, he practiced with the quarterbacks. He got reps with the quarterbacks, and they kind of had to sit him, coaches had to sit him down and say, you know, you might not be getting much time as a quarterback because he's going to be behind at the time Dalton Ritchie and John Schaub, so he might not get his time until senior year. And so he took it upon himself and said, well, where can I help this team out? And so they decided to put him on the defensive end of the ball. And wow, those coaches are probably so, what a pleasant surprise for them, for him to just come in and really make an impact in his role. Is just incredible. And something else I love about Travis is just how humble he is in his position. You hear his name all the time, but he is all about the team and respecting his teammates. And that's what I love.
Absolutely. All right, Drew, who stood out to you on the defensive side of the ball for POU?
You know who never gets the airtime, Christian? It's those guys inside the trenches who are fighting and battling and throwing hands all game long in those six-second controlled street fights that happen between the three-yard markers on either side. And it's sad because, you know, all the offensive guys, they get all the commercials, they get all the touchdown dances, they get all the love. The defensive guys, the only people you ever hear about are the Luke Kuechly guys or the Richard Sherman guys, the guys in the secondary, not the guys in the front seven, not the guys in the trenches, not the linemen, not the guys with their hand on the ground. That's why I want to talk about Mo Rodriguez. Mo was incredible, and it wasn't in anything you see on the stat sheet. The lineman's job is simple. Your job is to take on a block, possibly two, clog up a running lane, and let your linebacker scrape over the top and make tackles. And that's what he did. In the one time he had a chance to make a play, he did, and he iced the game with an enormous J.J. Swat-like representation. That was absolutely awesome to see. It's good to see a lineman get some love every once in a while.
And to your point, that POU defensive line and the defense as a whole, the Pacific running back entered the game with was averaging 110 yards per game.
Yep.
POU held him to 51 yards on 20 carries.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So let's jump over to the offensive side of the ball. POU has used 2 quarterbacks all season long. John Schaub usually starts the game, and eventually by about the second quarter, in comes Cole Chandler. We've mentioned it before. They both do separate things well. John can throw the ball and throw it extremely accurately and extremely, he's got a lot of zip on his ball this year. Cole can move better than John can, and that's what the thought process behind using those two guys. Pacific was able to get pressure on the quarterback. The Boxers had 5 sacks on the day. POU countered by keeping Cole Chandler in the game so he could escape that pressure and help the POU offense move. I thought this was as good as a way to use 2 quarterbacks. What did y'all think?
Well, just to throw some stats out there, John Schaub was 8 for 14 for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns. Schaub threw for those 2 touchdowns early, which gave the Lutes the momentum early on in the game, which I think was really important right out of the gate. And he didn't turn the ball over, which is pretty impressive, but for only playing, not even 2 quarters, I think he was pretty efficient there.
Yeah, I would agree. Drew, what about Cole? What did Cole do?
You know, Cole was effective both running and passing. Cole was 6 for 11 for 39 yards. Cole ran the ball 7 times for 62 yards. But like John, he didn't turn the ball over, and he helped the team win. The one thing I want to point out, however, is that, you know, I know I've been a very big, big naysayer, let's call it, of this two-quarterback system. I don't feel it's right. I don't feel it ever works. And it still really hasn't worked. Would you like to know why?
What?
Because although Cole has passed the ball well and ran the ball well, do you know what he has not done?
Let me know.
Scored the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's not scored the ball. PLU has yet to score with Cole Chandler under center. They have yet to be in the end zone. Last time I checked, you need to do that to win games. And listen, Cole played the job of not the second quarterback in the two-quarterback system, but he played the job of the backup quarterback in the two-quarterback system. Because after the Lutes felt comfortable with their 14-point lead, they said, John, we no longer need you to drive the ball down the field since you're the only quarterback who can do it. They said, now we're going to go to Cole, and Cole's going to run for his life for 2 quarters so you don't get hurt. He played the job of the backup.
You think pulling John
was
at half was
a pure
early,
health decision.
So early.
Was a pure health decision. Was a pure health decision.
I think it made sense,
based
though,
on the O-line. It was a pure health
decision. I think it made sense. If Pacific is going to pressure the quarterback the way that they did, why wouldn't you put the player that can move better than the other player in the game and keep the ball moving forward?
Because
I thought it worked as well as it could.
Do you know what happens when people blitz? You have to take people out of coverage.
You throw the ball into the blitz.
Throw the ball into the blitz. So why would you not keep your best throwing quarterback in the game? That makes this a pure health decision.
We're going to end up in a tough deal here because I thought it worked as well as it could.
I thought it didn't work. I thought Cole did a great job as the backup, not the second quarterback in the two-quarterback system.
27 points of the game. You know, Dallin Rodriguez has been as good as he's
ever been. Who?
Dallin Rodriguez, the field goal kicker.
What position does he play?
Getting points. He plays points.
So why can't we get in the end zone? We've only got in the end zone with John under center. That's all I'm saying. Numbers don't lie.
They do not lie. You're absolutely right.
When John Schaub is under center, PLU scores.
But for the situation,
and
it couldn't
have been
Lacey, better.
I know Lacey likes when Cole comes in because she doesn't cringe every single time John takes a snap. So I get it. She's going to be like, you're crazy. Shut up. Don't say this. He needs to come out at halftime when they're up. No, he shouldn't. Keep John in the game. John, if they would have kept John in, I guarantee you John throws for 300 yards and 4-plus touchdowns. And if anybody wants to say boo, that's just wrong. Mm-hmm. If you're going to continue to blitz, of course you're going to blitz the run quarterback. What does he do? He runs. Besides the one time he broke free of the blitz and got around the corner, he went nowhere.
Yep.
He went nowhere.
I agree with
I'm
that.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm done.
Quarterbacks can't throw from their backs. That's all I'm going to say. I think it worked well.
Nah.
Okay. Nah, well, all right. Let's move on. Let's move on to
tough deal for this week.
Deal of the week.
That's what that was. Yeah. Let's move on to everybody's heroes from last week. Lacey, who was your hero?
Senior running back Darren Hardgrove. We kind of already hit on it. His last little run of the game really sealed the deal for the Lutes. And Darren is just such a hard worker. I was able to stay for PLU's afterglow. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's kind of a tradition at PLU where after each game the players will sit with their family and friends and kind of recap the game and give shout outs to certain players. And actually Scott Westering, the head coach, was the one to give the shout out to Darren, saying he is probably the hardest worker on this team. And I couldn't agree more with that. Darren actually happens to be John's housemate. John Schaub is my boyfriend, so I'm there.
Finally, it's come out on the air. It has come out.
Okay, let me finish. So, to my point, I'm at the house a lot, so I know Darren pretty well, but he's always, over the summer, he was always that guy to put in the extra reps. When the guys had their sprint workouts, Darren was staying an extra 10, 20 minutes to get extra reps in. And a funny story, I was at the house. It was late night, maybe 11:30. Darren worked at Domino's all summer, as did many of the guys in that house. And he came home around 11:30. He was done with his shift, and he comes home, and we're all watching a movie, and we're like, Darren, you want to come watch a movie with us? And he's like, no, I'm going to go for a run. So he goes out to the track at 11:30, 12 o'clock, and is putting work in. He comes back about an hour later just drenched in sweat, and that's just the kind of player that deserves to have a great senior season, and he has had that so far.
I have been, for a class, I've been following Scott Westring around at practice. Darren actually asked me if I was if I was looking to come here. So thanks, Darren. I am a junior
that's
here.
So
and,
awesome.
And I'm here, so yeah. Drew, who stood out to you?
All I have to say is this, and I'm going to let you go on your rant because I don't want to jump on your toes, but special teams was special. They were special, and I'm not just talking about the punter who we all love, and we give love every week in here.
Big man crush on Anthony Lauthen, I think. As a player, I love Anthony Lauthen.
We love us some good punters. So special teams was special. Punting was great. Field goal kicking was fantastic. It's a place where the Lutes have struggled for a very long time. But I want to talk about that special teams defense, that punt block unit, you know, that return unit. Special teams was special. It's a third of the game, ladies and gentlemen. People think there's only two parts to the game, offense and defense. It couldn't be further from the truth. It couldn't be further from the truth.
Drew just yelled at the POU offense for kicking field goals. Then he just praised the field goal kicker, so that's kind of weird. I'm going to take TJ Morris from the punt return unit. He was the person who blocked that punt that gave POU the ball back on the 8-yard line. POU scored right after that play. It was huge. It put POU up 14-0 early. Said the POU defense was so good that literally could have been the end of the ball game, and POU would have been just fine. So that does it for our POU football segment. Up next is Lacey's Lutes. We all understand how tough it is to balance both athletics and academics. This week, Lacey sat down with a person who has to balance athletics and academics. This person also has another life to take care of. Find out who and how next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
I feel the master.
I feel him.
Y'all ready?
They ready.
Well, come on. Well, come on. Y'all ready?
They ready.
We ready. We ready.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Again, 253-535-7332. Christian, what's up next?
Let's move into Lacey's Lutes. Lacey, who did you talk to this week?
This week, I had the opportunity to talk to Kiana Callis. She is a junior setter on the women's volleyball team. Kiana is from Skagit Valley Community College, and we are going to find out the third thing that she is able to juggle. She is a student, she is an athlete, and she is also has another priority that she puts first in her life. I am here with Kiana Callis. She is a junior setter on the women's volleyball team. Callis came from Skagit Valley, and she is a student here at PLU. And something that is incredible about Kiana is that she is a student athlete, but she is also a mother. So we're going to hear a little bit about that. I want to start by asking Kiana, what is your major?
I'm majoring in kinesiology, pre-physical therapy intent.
Okay, and what do you plan to do with that later on?
My goal is, after I'm done at PLU, to apply for the physical therapy assistant program up at Whatcom Community College, and hopefully get into the program, and then from there become a PTA, find a steady job, and then be able to support Ellie.
Right. Okay, so Ellie is your daughter's name, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And how old is she?
She just turned 3 in September.
Great. And so I guess how is it balancing 3 different lifestyles of being an athlete, a student, and a mom?
Sometimes it gets hectic, and there are definitely days where I, like, want to be selfish and not do homework and, like, just want to hang out with Ellie, but I've, like, learned to really take advantage of when she's taking naps or when she's occupied with something, like, to really do my homework or start do studying or whatever. But she's reaching the age where, like, she understands that mom has homework or mom has to go to school. So, like, if I have to tell her, like, hey, Elle, like, mom has to do homework, like, you know, go play with your toys, she totally understands that. So it's kind of nice. And then my parents are really supportive. And before I committed to PLU, like, we had, like, a huge sit-down with my parents. And, like, we just discussed the whole long-term plan and whatnot. And so we're all on board.
Okay. So do your parents, you mentioned your parents, are they kind of the people that take care of her while you're at practice and in class?
My grandma is the primary caretaker of Ellie when I am in school and at practice.
Okay.
But my parents help out when they can, because my mom works, my dad works, so.
So how often are you able to see her every day?
Well, I FaceTime her at least three times a day, and then I go home on the weekends, almost every weekend, or if I have a home game like this weekend, they come down and watch me, so.
Okay, so... So you don't see her every day, necessarily?
No.
Okay, so are you living here on campus then?
I am living with some family friends, like, over in Milton, so, like, 15 okay. minutes away. And then I go home, usually, I've gone home almost every Sunday. If my sister can come down, she'll bring her down, too. So.
Oh, wow, that must be really challenging for you as a mom. So is there anything that you and your daughter do... Like, is there a specific book that you love reading or an activity that you guys love doing together?
She actually loves coming to volleyball.
Yeah.
Like, anything related to volleyball, it's funny, like, on my days off or whatever, she'll be like, oh, are we going to go to volleyball? And not today, which is funny, but she pretty much grew up in a gym, and so she loves hanging out in the gym and whatnot.
Yeah. Cool. So my next question was, is she a fan of volleyball? And clearly she is. That's awesome. So is she ever able to, like, sit in on practices at your community college or here? How did the coaches kind of react to it?
So when I went to Skagit Valley, my dad is actually the head coach at Skagit.
Okay.
And so Ellie would come to almost all of our practices, and she would just run around. Like, she became acclimated to a gym, and she understood, like, don't run onto the court, you know, or else you're gonna get hit type of thing. I haven't had to bring her to practice quite yet at PLU, even though before I committed to PLU, you know, I let Kevin know. I was like, hey, you know, I have a daughter. And he was like, that's fine. He's like, if you ever need to bring her to practice, like, go on and, like, bring her. So I haven't had to do that yet, but maybe in the near future.
Yeah. Well, I know that does he have two sons?
Yes.
And he brings them to practice often, so.
Yes, yeah.
That's fun. All right, well, thank you so much for your time. You play Linfield and Pacific this weekend at home, kind of switching over to the volleyball side of things. What are you guys expecting out of those two games?
We've talked about it a lot this week, especially coming off of our, like, heartbreaker loss last week against Whitworth. Is in our conference, whoever shows up that day will get that win. And that's really what we're focusing on, is, mm-hmm. like, showing up every single game and focusing every single game and, you know, keeping our heads on straight. Because, you know, sometimes we get kind of erratic, or we let other things influence, like, our attitudes on the court, off the court. And so we've been really working this week to really rein in the focus.
Awesome. All right, well, good luck this weekend, and thank you for your time.
Welcome back here. We're going to talk about that interview for a little bit right now.
Guys, can you imagine having a child while also juggling sports and school?
No.
Yeah, no.
Not even a little bit.
It's just like the thought, like, I think about how stressed I get with basketball and schoolwork, and to have that added on top, I think would stress me out. But I was also thinking, I should have asked Kiana this, but maybe Ellie, her daughter, is what kind of motivates her and drives her to get through each week, because she sees her only on weekends, which it also must be extremely difficult. But maybe that's what really gets her through each week. But to be so dedicated to the sport, to volleyball, like she's playing at the college level with a child.
It's kind of like, when do you have time? Like, think about our schedules, Lacey, for a second. Just like morning workouts, then you go to class all day, then you go to practice or open gym or whatever you may have, minus your own individual work that you're doing outside of that, plus homework, plus studying. Yeah. Well, at what point can you take care of a kid? That's crazy.
Yeah.
She must never sleep. She just must never sleep. She must be a cyborg or something. We just don't know.
Well, she plays like it. She gives a lot of credit to her family for helping her out. She said it would not be possible without her grandma, who's the caregiver of her child when she's not there. And then her parents are just so supportive of what she's doing, which is great.
Which is cool because it still allows her to be 19 years old and play sports in college and all that stuff. So nicely done by her family to help her out in a situation that would, to others, be too intimidating to tackle, for sure. All right, so it's time for another break. When we come back, we're going to go rapid fire with POU Sports. Details on POU volleyball, as well as both soccer teams from this past weekend. Stay tuned. This is Master Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
What is cool?
Cool is doing well in school.
Now that's cool.
Anyone who does well in school is a nerd.
Now that's not.
Cool is an attitude.
And if you have the right attitude, you can achieve anything.
Be cool. Stay in school.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call on the show, do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Again, that is 253-535-7332. Christian, we got rapid fire next. What are we starting with?
Let's go with POU Volleyball. POU Volleyball traveled to the east side of the state this past weekend. On Friday night, they took on Whitman. POU won 3-1. The next night, they took on Whitworth and lost a close one, 3-2. So who stood out from the past from the weekend?
Kaylee Shiramizu was a standout on defense this weekend. The first night against Whitman, she had a game high of 24 digs, and the Lutes go on with a win for that one. She carries that momentum over to the next weekend against Whitworth, tallying a team high of 16 digs, but unfortunately, Kaylee's defensive effort was not enough to get the win for the Lutes that night.
Yeah, it was kind of a rough weekend for the women. A couple good performances on the offensive side of the ball, though. Chloe Epker had 13 kills, responsible for 16 points against Whitman. Gabrielle had 18 kills and responsible for 21 points against Whitworth. And then Kiana Callis was playing like the John Stockton of old. Shorts about the same length as well. Had 22 assists against Whitman and 23 against Whitworth. So she had a great weekend. Another tough weekend stretch, though, for the women, as far as it goes.
All right, so far the team is 6-8 overall, but they're 4-2 in conference. They're sitting in fourth place in the Northwest Conference. Let's foreshadow a little bit. Let's look quite a ways ahead, but are they going to make the conference tournament at the end of the year?
Well, I just want to clarify, how many teams make it into the conference tournament?
Four, I believe.
Four, I believe.
Okay, we all believe it's four.
They're sitting on the bubble right now.
Four, so they're a bubble team. If we're talking like it's bracketology, which would be a lot of fun, we should do a segment of bracketology.
Northwest Conference bracketology, okay. Yeah. What do y'all think? Are they going to make it? Are they?
Well, I think it is a little early to tell, but the Lutes have played, I believe, the last three games they have played have been away games, and that's pretty wearing on a team, and they're able to get Linfield and Pacific at home this weekend. So I think those are going to be some crucial games. Take advantage of those home games and get a win there. Also, once again, they're going to face the Loggers on October 19th. The Lutes have lost to the Loggers twice already this season. I think getting that win is going to be huge for them.
What about to answer Christian's question, though? Do you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. To answer Christian's question, I think if they can beat the Loggers and really take care of business at home, they will be able to make that top four.
That's fair. That's fair. Drew, what do you think?
No.
Ooh.
just no. It's just not going to happen this year. I think Coach Aoki's going to miss his first postseason in forever, feels like. I feel like they've made it every single year that I've been here and before that. Here's the deal, Christian. At the end of the day, you're not going to beat Puget Sound at home if you can't beat them when they're – if you can't beat Puget Sound here, you're not going to beat them there. Period, end of story. They're just better. For the first time in a long time, Puget Sound is better. Mm. And these two games this weekend, any other year would have been gimmies. Like, these are must wins. But this team's not passing the ball well. They're not doing a lot well. They're one-dimensional in their attack, just hoping and praying that either Gabrielle Alley or Chloe Epker is going to somehow muscle them through games. Hasn't been happening. They if they drop even one this weekend, they're done.
Very interesting. POU Volleyball is at home this weekend, so head down to Olsen, check it out. Should be a fun time. Let's move on to soccer and talk about the women. They, too, were on the road this weekend. They beat Pacific on Saturday 2-0. And then the next day they beat Willamette 2-0. So who? Same question. Who was impressive over the weekend?
I'm going to go with Michaela Grady. She had one assist and one score for the weekend. In the first game, Michaela found Haley Smoot, her first score of the season, early in the game, the 14th minute. And in the second game, which was against Willamette, Grady was able to put the ball in the back of the net in the 60th minute, pretty late for the Lutes there, but it was a header goal with an assist from Kelly White. So that's just really impressive by her. But something that really stands out about this PLU soccer team, they have so many weapons. If you look at the stats from this last weekend, you will see different names in each category. They had four different people score those four goals. And that is just really impressive. That's hard to stop on defense.
You know, I say all the time in the broadcast, for those of you who do tune in, it's Michaela Grady doing Michaela Grady things. She's just so much faster and stronger than the women around her. It's scary. It's scary to watch sometimes. But I think it's obvious to talk about when there are back-to-back shutouts on the board. And it's a group of women, not just one. It's Kelly White, Katie Coronado, Lena Moreno, Megan Anderson, and Sakara Mitsui. That's the back four and the goalkeeper. That's zero goals in 180 minutes of soccer against two different clubs in a back-to-back. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, it's great to talk about the offense. Yeah, you need points on the board to win. But when you play back-to-back games of shutout soccer on the road, that's incredible. Can't say enough about the back four. They're the reason why the front can do whatever they want, because the back is solid. And even if they make a small mistake, the front makes a small mistake and loses the ball in midfield, they know the back four are going to rally the carts, and there's not many women who are going to beat Takara Mitsui from outside the 18-yard box.
That's absolutely right. Are they at home this weekend, Drew?
Women are at home this weekend.
Okay. All right.
For a game against George Fox.
Okay.
For just the game. The men are at home this weekend, and women's volleyball is at home this weekend. So I'm going to be busy.
So it makes sense because all three of them were on the road this past weekend. Now they're all back at home.
Well, we should also real quick just hit on the fact that PLU women's soccer played UPS, Crosstown Rivals, and also tied for first place in conference. They played them last night, Wednesday night, and came out in a tie.
I told you, I said they needed to beat them at least once, and they've drawn twice, right? They drew them both times.
I can double check right now, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they drew them both times. I said you're going to have to beat them once. But hey, another set of zeros. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we talking about the 85 Bears back-to-back-to-back games on the road? Shutout, shutout, shutout? I mean, I'm pretty sure they drew the Loggers the first time. Almost positive. Check me.
But hey, a tie is better than a loss, that's for sure. That just means they got to take care of business in the rest of their conference games.
Christian?
Nope, they've only played one time.
They've only played one time.
So they've tied. So they have to take advantage on Wednesday, November 2nd, it looks like, against Puget Sound. That could be your conference championship game right there.
Yep.
But that's not the last game of the season. They have to go to George Fox, right?
Let's see.
After that.
Yes, they are at George Fox
they have
after
to go.
That.
For a night. That is the hardest road trip, man. Go down there and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. All right, let's keep it going here. Rapid fire, right? Let's talk a little men's soccer. The men were at Linfield on Saturday, then at Willamette on Sunday. The team tied Saturday against Linfield by a score of 1-1. The game went into two overtimes, but neither team could gain the advantage. Then on Sunday, the team lost 2-0 to Willamette. So a tough weekend on the road for the team. Who had a good showing for POU men's soccer?
Well, we talked last week about how it's important to find a goalie that can be steady in the backfield for the Lutes. And last week, the coaches decided to play three different goalies for whatever reason. And this week, we found that guy, and it's Jack Rose. His consistency, I think, is going to help the defense out. I think goalies are kind of like point guards in soccer. They're back there directing traffic. They're the communicator for the defense. And hopefully keeping Rose as keeper will keep some consistency for the defense and they can gain some trust and cohesiveness. Rose had 2 saves against Linfield and 7 against Willamette. So I'm really hoping that that can help out the Lutes later on in conference.
You know, POU suffered a tremendous defensive collapse against Willamette, giving up 2 goals in less than 10 minutes of the second half. Isaac Visser got sent off with a red, playing with 10 men the rest of the time out. Visser is going to miss the Puget Sound game, which is huge. And then he's got 1 more point against him in terms of cards, and he's suspended. So that is the only veteran in that back line. And, you know, I know I've been very hard on the men's soccer team all year, and it pains me to watch, but the men continue to prove me right that the defense is not just seasoned, it's not just ready. It's not seasoned enough yet. They have a lot of growing to do. But on a positive note, Eddie Nod did his job and got the Lutes on the board. Sometimes 1 goal is all you can get as an offense, and the D has to buckle down and protect the leads when they have them.
That's absolutely right. So this weekend, POU men's soccer is at home, like we mentioned. Saturday the 8th, it's going to be a game you're going to want to go to. They play Puget Sound at 2:30 over there on the turf. It should be a fun one. Those rivalry games, we talk about it. See, it feels like often, especially against Puget Sound. They're right over there, so should be a fun game to watch. And then on Sunday, the 16th, they play Linfield at 2:30 p.m. over there on the turf. So that's kind of crazy. They play Linfield in back. No, not quite. No, yeah, it was back-to-back weekends. Look at that. Interesting. That's POU Fall Sports right there.
Yeah.
Like it? That was quick.
Like it.
I dig it. All right, we're going
to
take
it. Lacey are ready for winter sports to start.
Woof, 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 woof.
I'm right there with you. All right, let's take another break. When we return, it's going to be time to play a game. It's called Name That Loot. I'm going to roll out a couple stat lines from this past weekend and maybe even a couple of career numbers as well. Lacey and Drew will try to guess who they belong to. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
And my parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to join us in this game, if you want to join us and name that loot, do us a favor, call into the show, 253-535-7332. Again, the number, 253-535-7332.
So, Christian?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
That was The Price is Right. Do I get a point?
No, that's not how this game is played. It's not, but it's a good try. It's a good try. Okay. So what's going to happen? I kind of explained it before the break.
Okay.
I'm going to roll out a stat line.
All right.
It's either going to be from last weekend. It could be from, you know, a person's career.
Mm-hmm.
It could be someone that's already graduated before.
Okay.
There are a couple different categories.
Kay. Okay.
So I'm gonna roll it out. I'm gonna let you guys guess. Both
Alex,
of you guess.
Alex, I'll take Athletes in the Hall of Fame for 200, please.
All right, here we go. This person had 1 rush for 21 yards and 1 catch for 4 yards against Pacific. Drew, you got a guess for me?
One rush for 21 yards.
Yes. And a catch for four.
Who's Darren's? Who takes carries besides Darren?
No, Mark Gallant.
Mark Gallant.
That's not right. Is that both of your guesses?
Yeah, that's who I would have gone with. Yeah, Gallant.
Mark.
Yeah, me too.
Mark.
The correct answer is Jacob King.
Oh.
You remember in the first drive, they had a little razzle dazzle there where they did the
end and run it.
Yeah. I forgot.
Wow. That was Jacob King.
Good for Jacob.
Good one, Christian.
All right, let's move on. Good. Let's move on. Three catches for 25 yards.
Three catches.
Against Pacific. This is another weekend stat. Oh. Three catches, 25 yards. Lacey, you got a guess?
Lacey. Hold on. Give me a second.
Drew.
Ladies first.
Ooh.
Do you have something in mind?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I have something
You guys can't share it. Both of you cannot share answers. That's against the rules.
Okay. 100. Three catches for
25.
Is it Justin Lind?
Let's see. Survey says. There it is. Justin Lind.
Woo!
Good guess.
Got 1 point on the board. Thank you very much.
Lacey is in the lead.
That's
one
who
point.
Honestly, that was my guess, too, because we were joking it. Because I actually knew that one because we were joking with Justin in the weight room yesterday that Justin will never, ever get any love because he's a straight possession receiver. All he does is move the chains.
Well, there's your love, Justin. Listen to the show.
DJ was giving him a hard time the other day. It was hilarious. DJ's like, I'm in the zone and you're not.
All right, let's move on. Another one. Four tackles and one sack for a loss of 5 yards. Who was it?
Parker Smith.
Not Parker Smith.
Dang it.
Drew, you got a guess?
Yeah, Mo Rodriguez.
Nope.
Oh.
Good try.
It was Max White.
Oh.
Really?
Max White was the name given those stats. It's kind of tough to do stats with everyone having two numbers, so it was Max White, though.
Yeah, that's tough with everyone.
All right, let's go with another weekend stat. This person had 7 kills, 21 total attacks, 3 digs.
7 kills, 21
attacks. Mackenzie Harris.
All right. Lacey, you got a guess?
Gabby Alley?
Nope. None of those were correct. It was a good guess, though. Good guess. This person hasn't been mentioned yet. That's kind of why. It was Rochelle Downwin against Whitman. All right, let's move on to another one. 17 assists and 4 digs.
Collier. Yeah, let's go.
Hey, Drew got one right. We're all tied up. One.
Let's go.
Bring it on. One apiece. All right.
Sorry, I know the last names because that's how I do it in volleyball. And I know she's the other setter.
Yep.
Yeah, I know Cal is at 24-25.
Yep. All right. We're going to move on to active career totals.
Oh, jeez.
Good Lord.
So these are current. These are current players over their career.
Fall sports only.
We're in the fall sport category. This person has started 48 games. They have scored 13 goals. They have 13 assists and 39 total points.
Can we get a clarification of gender?
It is a male student.
Oh, dang.
Diego Aceves.
There it is. Diego Aceves are who those numbers belong to. Drew takes the lead 2-1.
Bring on the women's soccer.
Getting intense here.
Bring it on.
This person, this man, has started 36 games. They have scored 10 goals, 13 assists, and 36 total points.
Who is Bennett Bugby?
Let's go.
I'm an unfair advantage here. Drew announces for the men's and women's soccer game.
Drew watches.
He knows them pretty well.
Or he did his homework. It's one way or the other. All right. So Drew takes an impressive lead.
Oh, is it 4-1?
It's 3-1 right now. This person, this female athlete, has started 45 games. She has scored 1 goal, 3 assists, 5 points. Who is it?
Lena.
Lena who?
Lena, the soccer player.
Okay.
Moreno.
I don't think that's right.
Incorrect.
Dang it.
Incorrect. Give it a shot.
Haley Smoot.
No.
Also incorrect. Yeah. The correct answer is Megan Anderson.
Megan put a goal in last year.
Megan Anderson. So we're still at 3-1, Drew. Here's the next one. Two games started, 9 goals, 2 assists, and 20 points.
Who is Taylor Lundy? Let's go.
That's what I was going to guess.
There it is. Drew Artisoni.
Give me a second.
Ooh, all right.
Why do I got to give you a second? This is Jeopardy. Whoever hits their buzzer first wins.
We'll come up with a buzzer system here later. This is the trial run of this game. Okay. All right, now we're going to go into the loot legend category. These people have graduated.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Fall sports. Still remaining fall sports.
We're still in the fall sports. Kay. Still in the fall season.
Yep.
Okay. This person played 36 games, had 487 completions. They passed for 6,572 yards, 182.6 yards per game. They scored 54 touchdowns through the air, but threw 35 interceptions. This person also had 352 rushing attempts for 1,568 yards and 29 touchdowns.
Who is Dalton? Who's Dalton Ritchie?
That is not even fair. Okay. Folks, let me just say,
folks, I know exactly who it was.
I was looking at
Drew, saying,
is it Dalton Ritchie
Dalton.
With my lips?
I said this. Yeah, it's Dalton.
That is not even fair. I gave him the answer.
I knew the answer.
All right, Lacey, here's what I'm going to do because I'm such a nice guy. Okay. I am going to make this question worth the tie.
Oh. Okay.
You get to answer it
first. A lot of pressure.
If you don't, Drew walks away with the first ever Name That Loot title and gets to talk about it all week long, and we all don't want that. Okay.
True. This so true.
This person played 288 sets. They had 566 kills, 13 assists, 61 digs, and 208 blocks. Who is this person?
Has this person graduated?
Has graduated, yes. We are in the loot legend category.
Is it Amy Wooten?
Let's see.
Am I right? Let's go!
I knew who that was.
There it is. There is the tie.
In all fairness, did I not say I know exactly who this is?
I don't care. I gave you Dalton Ritchie, so.
Ooh. It's getting a little heated in here. All right. That was the first ever installment of Name That Loot.
Very fun.
Come on. We're ending in a tie?
We're going to end in a tie.
This isn't soccer?
This will continue.
This isn't soccer? Dickerson would be so mad at you right now.
This will continue. Hey, you know. In the future, now that we've played this, we will take turns answering first. You gained a little bit of an unfair advantage by answering every question you knew first, not giving Lacey a chance to get the question right.
Chivalry's dead, man.
It may be dead.
It's all about the win.
But that's how we got to play this. All right, that was Name That Loot. We're doing it again next week. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of tough deals. We'll find out what's on everyone's mind this week. We'll also talk about the University of Washington Huskies and what they did to Stanford. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.